How's everybody? I'm all right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Changes your perspective. Kind of feel like worship preached the message. So don't know that I can really add to it. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you that you're here. I thank you that we can be together in your presence. Lord, and in your majesty, you just wipe away everything else. And we can just sit in awe of you, and all the things of this earth just disappear. Father, I thank you for that. So often we need that. We bless you. We just ask that you'd speak to us, that you'd make things clear, that you'd reveal yourself, that you'd minister to us, that you'd touch us in a new way. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many know me? How many would say they know me? How many would say they know of me? It's really two different things, isn't it? Come on, that's good. Some of you that didn't raise your hand when I said, do you know me? I actually would have thought would have raised your hands that you know me. Most of you, I would say, don't know me. You know the persona of whatever's on my face? Don't usually hear good things about that. I worked with somebody a while back that ran a company, and I'd always have people come up to me. He always walks around with such a scowl, and I thought, he's like always happy. What are you seeing? You know, but I relate because I'm often somewhere in my mind instead of in the moment, and my expression isn't actually showing them where I'm at. I can fake a smile as easy as the best of them, you know. I tend to be rather contemplative. My wife will usually nudge me because I have this expressionless look on my face. You know, and why am I saying all these things? Because you don't know what's inside a person. Yeah. Only God does. So it was a very positive worship service. Yeah. And there's not been a whole lot of positive things in this year of 2020. And I wanted to touch on some of that. And if I, going through worship, I was like, does any of that really matter? You know, does it really matter? Some of the things that have happened that I'm aware of, everyone or most knows Terry Coakley got rushed to the hospital. They had to put two stents in his heart. He had 80% blockage and 90% blockage. He's lucky to be alive. He was supposed to speak. He had a good message on the fear of the Lord. So we need to be praying for him. Living Light was supposed to have a service here last night. You know, we have some friends from Living Light here even now. And COVID, you know, even John texted me and said even he had a positive test. So that's happening. My mother-in-law tested positive for COVID. My brother-in-law's mother passed away from COVID. So all this stuff. We had a very divisive year, and it continues to be divisive in an election that some are celebrating, some are mourning, and all this other kind of stuff, but the division hasn't ceased. How many knows as goes America, goes the world? If you've traveled around the world and talked to people, you understand the impact we have on the world. And there's some people in the world happy, and there's some people in the world not so happy with the results of things over here. And it's so easy in all this stuff, right? Life is a bunch of stuff. It's so easy to all of a sudden dwell on these things. What happened to me? What happened to my friend? What happened to my neighbor? What's happening at work? What happened in an election? What's happening in the government? What's happening? And before you know it, you're carrying a weight that you're not meant to carry. Henceforth, you walk around with a look like this. Right. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. And I can always make myself laugh. It's funny. I think I'm like the funniest person I know. No one else gets it, but I do. Oh, Lord. I have a lot of verses. I believe the scripture kind of speaks for itself. I really don't need to add a lot to it. I'm not really going to unpack everything, but I think the Lord wants to talk to you in the midst of circumstances. And worship just said it so well. So it's going to be a very redundant message. I want you to stick with me and go through the whole thing. Monica has a word that we're going to have at the end, and then I don't want anyone to rush out. I grew up, the best part of the service was the altar time. I don't know growing up if I ever remember a time where there wasn't an altar call. I don't know why in a lot of places we've gotten away from that, but I tell you, every service should have a call for salvation. Everyone. You don't know where someone's at. And every service should have an altar call for anyone that needs ministry or just wants to find a place with the Lord. We have a whole lot of space out there for fellowship. Take advantage of it. But in here, let's seek the Lord. Let's dwell in his presence. Let's minister to him and one another. We need to get back to simply enjoying his presence and pursuing him. So I was pondering what to do, and I love how we're structured. Some people don't really understand it, but we really spread the burden, share the responsibility, and so often someone has a word burning them, so it's easy to say, okay, who wants to speak and build a schedule according to that, or say, okay, we're on the theme, let's dig into that. And then I rest, right? Have it all lined up. And then you get surprises like what happened with Terry. I thought, Lord, what's going on? You ever just sit back and say, God, what the heck is going on? You know, life's not meant to be like this, right? And I don't see it in your word that way. And I thought, okay, what do you want to say? Why am I even feeling the way I'm feeling? Why am I seeing the way I'm seeing? Why? And I think it's amazing. I haven't started yet, by the way. I'm just kind of rambling. Yeah, you're in trouble. David was a man after God's own heart. And David, like, pretty much screwed up everything when it came to life and living it. Okay? Yeah. Best way to put it. And I'm not saying that to disparage David. Okay, I'm not. I'm saying, you know, we have to live life. Yeah. But the secret is to have a heart after God. And some people love the Psalms. Okay? There's a lot of good content there. I'm not one that really loves the Psalms because it's always like, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Oh, revelation of God, God's great, everything's okay. Okay, that's Psalms. But isn't that kind of where we are? It's like we're living in the Psalms. There's so much stuff, and we can get bogged down in it, right? And you're like, oh, woe is me. Oh, what's happening in this world? Oh, it's all going to hell. What's going to happen for my kids? What's going to happen for my grandkids? Oh, this person's just so wrong for the country. This direction is absolutely. God, none of this is you, God. Woe is me. And then, you know, like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Okay, how many are too young to know that song? Okay. Okay, the rendition is much better than what you just heard, okay? But the words are the same. And I think we need to break loose and realize that all we need to do is pause for a moment and turn to him. And that's really what worship was all about, and it's really what I wanted to talk about. So I've spent the last 10 minutes debating whether or not I should share or not. So that's what my rambling's been. Because I think you got the message, and I think you know it. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to go in through a lot of scripture, and I just want you to chew on it. Okay, can we do that? All right. Proverbs 3:5. Everyone knows this. This is what... I'll back up. No, I have that up there. Leave it up there. So, this is what the Lord led me to when I kept asking what. I think it's so much for me. Usually when I speak to you, I'm speaking to me, just so you know. I'm preaching to myself, which is why I get to laugh at myself and make comments that I think are funny that no one gets. And I'm talking to me. And in it, God talks to me, and he helps me with my perspective and my thinking and all these things. And you just get to come along for the ride. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. A long time ago, when I was first in church leadership, somehow, I think a group of men thought it'd be funny if I would be made the chairman of the board. And president of the board, whatever you want to call it. So I got to be the leader of the board. At that time, we were a congregational church. In times of troubles, you know, the board ruled. And we were going through some times of trouble. And we had a very senior staff, except for the pastor, who was fairly new. And the elders got to the point that they felt they had to ask the pastor to leave. Wasn't fun. I was a very good friend of his. And it was a very difficult time. In the midst of that, Pastor Vern Lee, I don't know, how many of you remember him? Very senior, experienced man of God, greatly admired in this region even. And I watched through the time just how he served me, how he supported me, how he encouraged me. And one day, or evening after a meeting, he came up to me as all the leaders had dispersed, and he just handed me a little note. And I kept it with me for a long time. It was simply this verse. I was probably the least experienced person of all the leaders, and yet I kind of had to be the leader of all these guys in the church. And it was simply this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So I just want to talk about this verse a little bit. I'm going to throw some verses in there with different keywords. And just let God minister you, because I believe we're in a place where individually we need to just cast our cares on him. Don't bear burdens you can't bear. And as a church, not just the encounter, as the church, there's a clear call for the church to arise and move the gates of hell. Literally, move the gates of hell. There has been an onslaught in this country And sometimes it appears that the enemy's winning. And I want you to know he's not. He's not. Believe it or not, the church has been in training. The church has been working out. The church is ready to go, and it's going to arise. And it will do so by trusting in the Lord and leaning on him in his paths. That's how it'll do it. All right? You with me?
Yes.
All right. It's only 11:19, so 11:20, so we're good. Trust. It's an interesting word. So few of us actually practice it. That's an honest statement. Definitely our leaders don't practice it. Definitely it's not practiced on the news. We'd rather get on and offer our opinions and our complaints and our criticisms and all those things instead of trust. And I'm always reminded that love trusts. Love trusts. And the greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And love trusts. And why do I get bogged down on things that I'm not to get bogged down in? So where am I messing up here? Because obviously I'm not loving properly. If I'm not walking through everything with my eyes upon Jesus. Okay? So what is this? Trust is actually a word that means place your security in him. Okay? I looked up several definitions, so I kind of lumped them all together. One was to have hope, to make refuge, to be sure and confident boldly in him. You know, when the Word of God says come boldly before the throne, that's trust. Merriam-Webster. Firm belief in, reliability, truth, the ability or strength of something or someone. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7 says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I love the verses that I'm going to share you because they almost all come with a blessing from it. See, there's a reason he says, trust the Lord. It's not just an exercise. It's a release of power for him to work in your life. It is not just an exercise. When you trust in God, when you willingly say, I'm not carrying this burden, I'm turning my eyes to you, this is not my problem, Lord. It opens up the door for him to move on your behalf. If you demand to carry it, you're going to carry it. We're not meant to carry it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. I actually like this passage. It's kind of like where we are. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Isn't that great? Like green plants, they will soon die away. Not like I want any of them to die, but I wish some of them would go away. I'm just being honest. If we can't be honest in the church and open about it, we have a lot of evil people involved in trying to lead our nation and trying to lead our cities and trying to lead our states. It's about time the people of God arise and get involved in leading. The church was called to lead. See, it's the kingdom of God that's supposed to take over the kingdom of this earth. We're not supposed to shrink back. Let's call dark, dark, and light, light. And light overcomes darkness. That is not an indictment on the people. It's an indictment on being in darkness. Let's bring them into the light. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you ever take the time in the midst of trials and trouble to delight yourself in the Lord? Maybe that's why you're not getting what your desires are. He said it. I just agree with it. But I find myself not always putting it into practice. It's so easy to get caught up in the muck, in the mire. But God, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Psalms 84:12. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Simple verse. How many want to live blessed? Yeah. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your paycheck. Don't trust in your bank account. I'm telling you, in a blink, it could be over. Yeah. Literally. I've seen $500,000 disappear in a second. Can't trust in those things. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace in whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. If you're not at peace in your life right now, trust in God. Trust in God. But it just doesn't say trust in the Lord. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart. So what is the heart? Thing that beats, right? That's not really what he's talking about. Your heart is really everything that you are. It's everything that you are. It really makes up who you are. It's really what the Lord's after. It's your heart. It should be childlike. It should be unwavering. It's made up of feelings, intellect. It is the center of everything in your life. So what's he after? Everything. Yeah. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with everything. Trust in the Lord with all your being. Don't let circumstances remove you from trusting the Lord. It's a challenge at times. It's a challenge. But we have to give it all to him. All your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? For it is the wellspring of life. Why is it so important to trust the Lord with all your heart? Because everything of life comes from the heart. What you're saying when you trust with him with all your heart is, I trust you with all of me, period. End of sentence. Romans 10:10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. How important is the heart? No justification without it. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And there's several other verses in the gospel that say the same thing. Luke 6, 45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Your heart is everything, and it becomes evident when you speak of where your heart is. Trust the Lord with all your heart. What's that? Why is that verse in there? Because watch how you speak. It'll show whether you're trusting in the Lord. I loved Abel. Some of you don't know Abel. Many of you remember Abel. Abel went through some sickness towards the end of his life, and he was always like, not my problem. He didn't carry that weight. Remarkable, and he lived at peace, and he was always serving and always had a greeting and always was encouraging to everybody. He's an awesome man. What came out of his mouth was his heart was trusting in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is lean not on your own understanding. I thought, okay, lean. What are you telling me there? Well, the word actually means rely on or rest in. But I even went further. It means to not live independently from. There's a huge challenge in the United States of America, and that's why so many of our thoughts are wrong. That's why so many of the decisions of individuals and groups of people and even our governmental leaders are wrong, because they seek to live independently from our Creator. We are founded, our very foundation, in God. One nation under God. In God we trust. It's written into our Constitution. It's everything from the foundation, and we want to live independently from that, and you cannot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean. We are dependent upon Him and one another. Period. The kingdom of God is about God. Second Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sense of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. First John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. The essence of this word lean means rely on Him. When things get too much, let Him carry the weight. Rest in Him. You know, it's like the footsteps in the sand, right? Carry you. But what are we not leaning on? What are we not relying on? Our own understanding. You know, understanding is more than knowing. It is the ability to understand or comprehend. It's having insight or good judgment from what you know. And most of the time, your understanding, my understanding, is just a very shallow part, if any, of God's understanding. So don't lean on what you think you know, because you don't know it all in any situation. Period. He does. He does. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. What's it saying? Understanding is important. Right? Knowledge is important. Just don't rely on your own. Rely on His. Seek His understanding. The fact is, if our understanding was enough, the world wouldn't be so messed up. Our lives wouldn't be so messed up. The circumstances in wouldn't be so messed up because we understand it. And if you truly understand it, you'd know what action to take to correct the situation, and you wouldn't be in that situation anymore. Shows the limit of your understanding. What's he say? Get His. Job. Mind Job, no, Proverbs 2:11, right? Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Benefit of understanding. Job 12:13. Job is a wonderful book. A lot of people don't like to read it. But I actually love it. Because here the dude's like having all kinds of stuff happen, right? All stuff beyond his control. Terrible stuff. Tragic stuff. And yet, he's not done anything wrong. And all his friends come to encourage him by telling him how awful he is and everything that he's done wrong. In the end, God steps in and says, my servant Job, he's the only one right here. Right? All you guys are not good friends. Didn't say that, but that's my paraphrase. Then he goes to talk to Job. Right? And he questions him. So Job, who actually stood before all these men and was right in the eyes of the Lord in everything, now he stands before God. And the end of it is, okay, I don't know anything. Everything I thought was right. In your presence, my right is wrong, and you're the only thing right. That's the story of Job. It's pretty cool. It really is. Job 12:13. To God belongs wisdom and power, counsel and understanding are His. Job 37:5, God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. We need the Lord's understanding. So what do we lean into? God's understanding of the situation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean into His. Sometimes that's a pursuit that we need to walk out, right? Seek ye first, right? Yeah. Okay. Then what's it say? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What's this acknowledge mean? It means to know, to ascertain by seeing, or to give credit to. And I'm sure there's other definitions, but that's what I stuck with. Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. When you take the burden off yourself and give it to the Lord, that is a form of acknowledgement. The next form is, like Abel, it's your problem, Lord. What was he really saying? I'm not capable of dealing with this, but I trust in you and your ability to take care of me. I don't know where any of you are in life, but I know some of us, every moment of every day, has to be and live in that place. Lord, I just trust you to take care of it. Lord, I trust you to take care of it. They walk in the next room. I need to trust you to take care of it. I can't carry this burden. Your yoke is you. I'm leaning on you, Lord. Luke 12:8, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge it before the angels of God. Now, I think that's pretty cool. For some of you, it might do nothing. God's like going to brag on you in heaven. Okay, it's not as cool as I think it is. If you simply acknowledge Him, you don't think He can take care of you in this world? Let the world disparage you. Yeah. Let them reject you. God will defend you. I mean, honestly, the best thing that's happened over the last 2 weeks is Trump has been relatively silent. It's not demeaning to him, but you know what? Let the Lord defend him. Okay, let's have a debate. Democratic Party against the Lord. Is there any decision there? Okay, I'm getting too political. Where are we at? Next verse. Okay. This is a different version of a verse we use. So it says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. Really? The rest of that's there? As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. The other version that we use is, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Right? So, and then it says, he will make our paths straight. And I thought, okay, what's my path, Lord? Your path is your course or direction to move in. It is the course of action or conduct. In every situation, in every circumstance, you have a path. We need to follow his. Acts 2:28, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You know, in every circumstance, when there's a path of life. Walk that one. Just a bit of counsel. Good counsel. Walk that path. Psalms 23:3, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Another good tidbit of counsel. Walk that path. In every circumstance. Psalms 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. Walk that path in every circumstance. Don't let me forget you. Okay. So that is my take on trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning on not on your own understanding and all your ways, acknowledging him and letting him set your paths. So I want to just share some verses that hopefully speak to you because they have to do with living above your circumstances or the promises of God for your life. And I think the church needs to understand who they are in him and therefore that they own these things. These are reserved for his people. You know, in every circumstance, make a withdrawal on the promises of God. And they're just at random. There's no particular order. So Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, love trusts, who have been called according to his purpose. What? That circumstance can be turned for your good. COVID? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Fear, division, anxiety, he can turn it all for your good. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What? As we trust in him, in our circumstance, we're filled with hope and joy and peace. How can you be so calm in that? God of hope, God of peace. It's his problem. Take a deposit. It's your promise. Oh, we all know this one, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So many think the Lord's out to harm them just because they go through life. Here, I'm going to put a perspective on life. You may not like my perspective on life. We are all in this life dealing with the consequence of sin and the enemy's presence. Period. Don't give all this nonsense trouble that we see in that to God. Not his fault. He gave us the world. Adam screwed it up. Big time. Jesus came, gave us the answer for all time. But we're still paying for the consequence in this life. Until what? Until the kingdom of God has taken over everything, and that's your task. In the meantime, you have full access to all of the benefits of the kingdom of God. All of it. Ambassadors can call on their government at any time. Call on God in the time of need. Trust in him. Lean on him. He'll give you the right path. That's my perspective on life. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. These are good verses. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Stand on that one. Times of trouble come. I like her vision or dream or whatever she says. Stay above it. Walk on water. Don't sink in the muck and mire. Why? Because you can take that out of your account because he said it. Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all of the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So much for COVID. Don't turn your eyes upon COVID. Now, I'm not telling you to do stupid things. My daughter goes out to play. I'm going to go cliff jumping. No, I'm not. Sorry, don't do stupid things. Let's jump and see if we live. I'm telling you, he's given you all authority of heaven. All. Access it. And don't let fear stop you from living. Do the right things. But don't let fear stop you from living. He said it. I mean, I just agreed with it. I would say it too, but it's because I agree with it. 1 John 5:4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. So really, should our eyes be fixated upon our circumstances and the troubles of this world and all those things? No, it should be fixed on him. Why? Because he overcame the world, and through him I am born of God. Therefore, I have overcome all of these things. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Good verses. Psalms 103:2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Come, Lord Jesus. I turned 57. I want to feel like 27. It said it right there. Renew me. But get your eyes off that. Hey, it's a constant battle for me. Again, remember, I'm preaching to me. You just get to hear the journey I'm on. Okay? If the Lord speaks to you, that's really awesome. Because he really wants you to hear him. Yes. And I really like this one, so I did the whole chapter. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Woo! That's a mouthful. That's a passage to rest in. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Lean on me when you're not strong. Right? Yeah. Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Monica, come up. Matthew 6:33. We all know this verse. It's very precious and dear to us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All. All. Because that's kind of the end of the story. All these things will be given to you as well. Sure. Pile her on. Want a seat?
No, I'm good, thanks. Okay. Just bear with me for one moment here. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little chilly, so don't mind my big coat. Okay. Well, this morning I was trying to have my God time, and I was having a hard time, like, focusing and trying to hear kind of what God was saying, and I looked out my window, and all of a sudden, because obviously the strong winds, this big dark cloud was just being pushed away. And I'm like, okay, God, what's going on here? And the light clouds and the light came through. And I was like, okay, God, I'm listening. What's going on? And he shared something really cool with me, and I want to share it with all of you too, because I think it's an encouragement for us all, especially during these last couple of days and weeks. So. This is what I felt like God was saying. The dark clouds are being pushed away. And the truth of my light and my vision are coming. The dark clouds are being pushed out of the way. Now see the truth and the light. Light lights the way. My light will light your way, and you will be able to see my will and my way. And I was so encouraged by that. And then I was like, okay, God, you're obviously up to something good, because he always is up to something good. And when he shines his light on it, then we can recognize what that goodness is and what his will is and stuff. And then he took me to Psalm 76, and this is from the Passion Version translation. And he took me to verse 4 stood out, and it said, God, you are so resplendent and radiant. Your majesty shines from your everlasting mountain. Nothing could be compared to you in glory. And I didn't know what resplendent meant. So I had Tom look it up for me. And what it means is attractive and impressive through being richly colorful or sumptuous. And so I was like, okay, so I just want to encourage myself and you guys too, that it's just so neat how God talks to us. He talked to me through a moving cloud. He talked to me through the Psalms. And he just talks through anything. Like, I just love that. You could be driving down the street and you see an advertisement and boom, God's talking to your spirit. Or, you know what? Non-Christian music too sometimes. I know that's a little bit controversial, but no, there's a song from the 80s that God speaks to me by a singer named Rick Astley, and the whole verse is like, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna turn around or desert you. And that's like my love song from Jesus. And I know 80s to each his own, but you know, it's just so amazing. And just all that's going on right now, just to be open to see how God is moving, because we're being so bombarded with so much garbage and negativity and our souls. I mean, I struggle. My soul is struggling now, but God. And so I just encourage us just to keep our eyes on God. Yeah, that's
amen.
It. Thank you. Okay.
So I'd like y'all to stand. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He's promised that he'd open all of heaven, right? Brother, this could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, hey, look, what? Sing with me. Keep going. Feel like something good is about to happen. It could be this very day, right? Something like that. I like old songs, but I'm getting old enough to forget them. When Monica brought that to me, I thought, oh, that's really a perfect close. You know, whatever darkness you're in, whatever darkness you perceive out there, light's coming.
Yeah. Amen.
The light's about to break through. Evil has not triumphed.
That's right. It never will.
You are commissioned an officer and an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven stationed on this earth. Go forth and complete your mission. Take this earth for him. One day, every knee, every knee. I don't know if ants have knees. They're going to bow too. Everything will bow and declare he is Lord. So if you would, just take a moment. Don't run out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Let's just lean into the Lord for a moment. The altar's open. If you need to just unload a burden, come to the altar and unload a burden. And it can be really simple. Just acknowledge him. Simply acknowledge him. I don't know what you're heading for this week, but I know if you just give it to him, you're going to have a glorious week.
I can feel
You're going to live the life of an overcomer because that's what he's called you to be. That's what he's called us to show the earth. Because we have overcome because he has overcome. So I'm going to close in prayer. Just find a moment to be with him. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're present. You are always present with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Our arms are always open to us, Father. And now we just run into them. We climb into your lap. You hold us. You hug us. You tell us it's all going to be all right. So, Father, it's all going to be all right. Just reveal yourself to us in a new and fresh way. Father, meet us where we are and bless your people, God. I declare your favor upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Just find your time with him.